This is the message from Connection Community Church for Sunday, October 13th, 2024. Plan G.
Isn't this just a glorious day to be part of God's creation? Amen. Can I get an amen there at home? Good, good. All right. So good to be with each and every one of you this morning. Today is our second week of our series, One-Offs. Now, as we said last week, a one-off is a message that kind of stands alone, doesn't depend on the week before, the week after, not really part of a series other than the title, One-Offs. So our one-off for today is called Plan G.
Say Plan G. Plan G. All right. Well, good morning, Connection Church. My name is Carrie Jones.
I'm Alan Jones.
And we are two sinners who've been saved by the grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Thanks so much for being here today. We gather on Sundays to glorify God and to encourage each other to keep on keeping on in this walk that we have with Jesus. We need each other. Thanks for showing up. Yesterday was an amazing, amazing day. We had 100 volunteers. That's what it took, 100 volunteers. And I did a little bit of math in this, added up all the three-hour shifts and the all-day stuff and everything. 550 hours collectively by all of the servers. That's a lot. That's a lot of, I didn't even count the planning or anything. It was just from 1 to 6:30. All right, so then I took that a little bit further. If you do 8-hour days, 68.5 8-hour days of volunteer hours. That's amazing. All right, I took it another step further. 24 hours, you know, continuous, 24 hours, 24 hours. 23 continuous days of volunteer hours. That's what you did. Thank you. Anybody who volunteered yesterday, would you stand up? Don't be shy. Come on. Come on. Wow. That's a lot of you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You knew what it took. I know that you were blessed beyond. So thank you. Next year, we'll be doing our fall festival again, and we're going to need 120 volunteers. So it'll be great.
And aren't you glad it's just once a year?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it was so much fun. All right, let's get started. Would you pray with me, please? Almighty God, thank you so much for today. It's a day that, well, today's a gift. Help us see today as a gift. We might have come with, like, craziness. It might have been hard to even get here this morning, or things might have been upside down and inside out, and I would pray that everybody here and under the sound of my voice would just be able to breathe a little bit and take you in and get a recharge as together we hear God's word. We thank you. We praise you. We glorify your name in the name of the Father and the Son and by the power of the Holy Spirit. And everybody agreed and said,
amen.
Amen.
So today we're talking about plans. And you know, some people are planners. I don't mean they're planners. I mean they're planners. You know what I'm talking? Real. I see a smile. There we go, Paige. They know they have a plan for everything. I have a plan for everything. And those plans are pretty meticulous, thought out, carefully orchestrated.
How many of you are they? Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I can put up two hands on that. It's okay. Fun.
Now, how many of you know a planner, but maybe you aren't one? Or maybe you're sort of a planner, but not. Okay. Here's the thing. If you're not a planner, it's good to have one in your life. Let me see pages. They need to be appreciated. You know, like I plan, but I wouldn't call myself a planner. Now, I usually have a plan for what I'm doing, but it's good for me to have Carrie in my life because she's meticulous.
And it's good for you to have me in Alan's life, to help planning for all of us.
Let's not go crazy now. Now, like I say, even though I don't plan as meticulously as Carrie does, I usually have a plan. You know, things don't go complete chaos. And you know, whether you're a planner You're not a planner, you're kind of a planner, you know a planner. It's not really a right and a wrong, is there? It's just different. There's just differences in us, thank the Lord. Here's the thing, though. Whether we're a meticulous planner or not, whether we're detailed or a little less detailed in your planning, no matter how you plan or to what extent, if you have a plan A, it's usually a good idea to have a plan B. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen. Plan B.
Well, let's talk about plan B for a minute. That's the alternative plan. That's the plan that you plan for if plan A doesn't work out the way you think that it should. It kind of takes into account anything unforeseeable that just could happen, you know, things that we can't control, plan A or plan B. So a recent example in our lives about plan A and B is we took a trip in early June with Candy and Murray and Drummond and Nancy and Jeff Johnston, and we went on a cruise to the British Isles. So I don't plan my clothes ahead of time, but this one I knew that I had to because, you know, it's important, and I didn't know what it would be like, but we were told by the internet that it would be in the mid-60s. So I planned for clothes in the mid-60s. Well, then I'm thinking, okay, plan B, what if it's warmer? Because it is kind of, you know, it's June. So then I planned for clothes that might be in the 70s. Well, that wasn't good enough planning because I needed a plan C. Do you know?
For the 50s.
For the 50s. Do you know that I had to buy a $120 wool sweater from Blarney, Ireland because it got so cold that ended up being my plan C. It was a great souvenir from Ireland.
Plan B, A, plan B. Sometimes there's even a unforeseen plan C. Plan C. You know, sometimes in life, there's plan A, there's plan B, and neither one's good. Neither one's good. But those seem to be the only options you have. You ever been there where we generally refer to this as a dilemma. You know, a dilemma. A dilemma, I heard years ago, is like a charging bull. Whether you go this way or this way, plan A or plan B, you're going to get gored either direction, you know?
Such a wonderful Sunday morning image.
Well, it makes you want to listen to what we're talking about today. Because sometimes A or B, neither one's a good choice. Sometimes.
We do find some of those dilemmas here in the scripture. We're going to share a few. There's a really familiar one in the book of Exodus. Exodus is in the beginning of the Bible. It's Genesis and then Exodus. And who we find in Exodus, one of the characters is Moses. And Moses was called upon God to lead the Israelites to freedom, but they had been enslaved for 400 years. 400 years. And finally, the Pharaoh let them go. And so Moses takes them, and we know that it wasn't point A to point B. They had to take the long road, and they went through the desert, and they get up to the Red Sea. And unfortunately, they find out that Pharaoh, who let them go, changed his mind. And so Pharaoh sends 600 of his best chariots and horses along with others, and they're in hot pursuit for these Israelites who were going toward their freedom. Plan A has the Red Sea on one side. Plan B has the Pharaoh's army coming at them. That's what we call a dilemma.
Another dilemma we find in the Old Testament book of 1 Samuel, in the chapter 17. The Israel army is camped on one hill. The Philistine army is camped on the other, a valley between. The giant, maybe you've heard of him, Goliath. He steps from the Philistine camp into the open valley. Now, he's not a little guy. He's 9 feet, 9 inches tall, approximately. His gear alone weighs 126 pounds. The tip of his spear alone is 15 pounds. This is a monster of a man. Yeah. And he offers a challenge to the Israelites. a one-on-one, mano-a-mano, winner-take-all death battle, a death match. He'll take on whatever soldier the Israelis choose to send out. Scripture says that on hearing the Philistines' words, Saul, the king of Israel, and the Israelites, all the Israelite army, were dismayed, but not just dismayed, they were terrified. You have an entire army here that's sitting there terrified of this 9'6" Goliath of a man. So in other words, plan A, pick a man and have him totally obliterated in a one-on-one battle, or sit there trembling, terrified, wondering what's going to happen next. Dilemma.
So we have Moses, then we had the situation with Goliath. There's another story in the Bible, and we find it in the book of Daniel. So during the Babylonian exile, the best and the brightest were taken out of their homeland and shipped off to Babylon. They were forced to live there. Daniel was one of those. Daniel loved God with his whole heart. Now, the king of Babylon was King Darius, and he became rather fond of Daniel, but he had some pressure that was put upon him because the officials wanted to take Daniel down. See, Daniel loved God, and that wasn't the way at that time. So they encouraged King Darius to issue a decree that anyone who prayed to any god, that's a little g god, or human during the next month, other than the king of Babylon, which was King Darius, well, they would be thrown into the lion's den. Wow. King Darius reluctantly issued this decree. Daniel was faithful to God, and prayer was part of his daily discipline. So, plan A, follow the decree that he couldn't utter the name of God anymore. Or plan B, go into the lion's den. Wow, that was crazy. Plan A, follow the decree, be unfaithful to God. Plan B, lion's den. That's what we call a dilemma.
Okay, so the problem with the dilemma, as we said, is both plans, plan A and plan B, are not good. Whichever we choose, we lose. So we're going to suggest to you this morning, when you face such a dilemma, when you face having to choose plan A or B, and neither one seems to bring a good positive outcome, we suggest instead you choose plan G. Plan G. And that's God's plan. God's plan. God usually has a third plan. Yeah, a third plan. A plan that goes beyond plans A or B. A plan that we weren't even thinking about when we were choosing between A and B. A plan that God and God alone can offer, can facilitate, can make happen. Plan G is a plan that usually takes great faith on the part of the one in the midst of the dilemma. Trusting that God will do what God says God will do. God will do what God can do. Plan G.
So, spoiler alert here. We try plan A. We try plan B. Plan G is not the third plan. Plan G needs to be our first plan. It needs to be our first plan, but that does take faith and trust. Plan G is the plan that God offered Moses and the Israelites in the desert. As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up and saw the Egyptians approaching. They were terrified. They called out, they cried out to God. Listen to Exodus 14, 13 through 18. Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again." Okay, this next one's one of my favorites, so say it with me. "The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. I find this humorous. He like says a minute ago that I'll fight for you, sit still. And then he says, why are you sitting there? Get moving. Raise your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea to divide the water so that the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground. I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians so that they will go in after them. And I will gain glory through the Pharaoh and all his army, through his chariots and his horsemen. The Egyptians will know that I am the Lord when I gain glory through Pharaoh, his chariots and his horsemen. Mm. And so the rest, they say, is history. Plan G.
And you know, usually, you see where it says, do not be afraid, stand firm. They didn't know yet what plan G was. They could only see A and B. They weren't necessarily true, but they didn't know what plan G was. Isn't that what happens to us often? I don't even know God's plan, but I'm going to be faithful to whatever is, and I have to just be ready for it, almost be still, to be able to appreciate what God's plan is. Plan G is the same there in the valley of the jolly giant, Goliath, offers the Israelites, take her, winner take all, death match. Who would have guessed? Who in their wildest imagination would have guessed that God would use this little shepherd boy to be the centerpiece of this plan against the 9'9 giant Goliath? The funny thing is, God had this plan in the making long before those armies were on opposite hills with that valley between, long years before, because he had David be a shepherd boy. David, all his life, had trusted God. He was God's, guy. God loved David. He loves all of us, but God, David was special. And David, being a shepherd, had learned to use a slingshot. It wasn't at the moment he put a rock in a sling, and God directed it to that. God, he'd been practicing that for years, because if you're a shepherd, you use that sling to control the sheep. You can put a shot just in front of a sheep's nose to keep it from going where it shouldn't be going, and they like to go where they shouldn't be going. So you know David had a ton of practice, and it wasn't a slingshot like this. It was a little pouch with two strings that you would whirl, let it, one string go, and the stone would fly. So God had this in the making long before this moment when David comes up against Goliath. But check out what happened. David said to the Philistine, he said, you come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. David's not pussyfooting around here, is he? He's going right toe-to-toe with this, I wouldn't say face-to-face because it's like this, but he's not backing down. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. This very day I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army, your army, to the birds and to the wild animals, and the whole world will know that God is a God in Israel. He's not doing this for David's glory. This is for the glory of God. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands. As the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David quickly ran toward the battle line. He's not backing off. He's running right at him. And he struck the battle line, reaching into his bag and taking out a stone. He slung it and struck the Philistine on the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell face down on the ground. So David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. Without a sword in his hand, he struck down the Philistine and killed him. Wow, that's quite a story, isn't it?
Did you hear the confidence that David had in that scripture? I mean, he says, I will strike you down. So that confidence that David had, we have that too when we're in the Lord. We are confident that God's going to do what God's going to do, and God will never leave us nor forsake us. God will always be there. And so we're talking about plan G, getting on board with God's plan. Let's take a look at Daniel's story. So Daniel willingly chose to go against the decree of King Darius. He chose to continue to pray to his God, big G God, the creator of heaven and earth. He actually never considered plan B. I mean, he never considered going against all that he was told, all that he knew. And so as a result, he was thrown into the lion's den. Now, we would expect what the end could be. It wouldn't be pretty, that the lions would just devour Daniel. But we know that that's not what happened. God brought into play plan G, which was the plan all along, a plan that supersedes plan A and plan B. Listen to this. At the first light of dawn, the king got up and hurried to the lion's den. When he came near the den, he called to Daniel in an anguished voice. Remember, he didn't want to put the decree out, so he was really worried about this. Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions? Sounds like he kind of thought maybe Daniel, you know, that God was really the God. So it was pretty cool. Daniel answered, May the king live forever. He had a respect for King Darius. My God sent his angel, and he shut the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me, because I was found innocent in his sight. Nor have I ever done anything wrong before you, your majesty. The king was overjoyed and gave orders to lift Daniel out of the den. And when Daniel was lifted from the den, no wound was found on him because he had trusted God. Do you remember we sang in the second song, Rebecca sang, there's another in the fire standing next to me. That's true for us. It was true for him. At the king's command, the men who had falsely accused Daniel were brought in and thrown into the lion's den. This next part's rough. Along with their wives and children. And before they reached the floor of the den, the lions overpowered them and crushed all their bones.
So plan G. You know, it's not just stories in the Bible where we read plan G, although there's plenty of them. We have present day plan G stories right here at CCC. The land on which you're sitting, we bought back in like 2007. That's getting close to 20 years, isn't it?
Yeah. 20, more than that, isn't it?
That would be 27. No, yeah. It's about 8. No,
I can't do math. It's good you can.
It's like 17 years.
Yeah.
17 years. And when we bought it, the owner, local real estate guy, said, I'm not negotiating this price. I think it was like $40,000 an acre. Seems like a lot. 40,000 acre. I'm not negotiating. 40, that's it. There's no 40,000. And so we kind of had a dilemma. We either paid what he asked, which we thought was a lot, but paid what he asked, or we didn't take the land. It was pretty simple, A or B. So we chose to take it, although we weren't sure how we were going to pay for it, but we chose to take it. Unfortunately, when the bank looked into it and appraised it, it wasn't worth $40,000 an acre. We could not get the money that he asked, but would not negotiate. Plan G. He agreed to take what the bank appraised the land at. I don't remember now, 36, 37, something like that. So there was some negotiation. He just wasn't negotiating with us. He negotiated with the bank. But ultimately, it was God, Plan G, who was looking out for Connection Community Church. There you go.
So when we were getting ready to build, we were told that we needed a sidewalk that went in front of our church. Doesn't that sound goofy? I mean, who walks along there? So it was a sidewalk from nowhere to nowhere.
There's no sidewalk at either end.
Yeah. So we could either build the sidewalk or we could pay $32,000 instead. That didn't even make sense. And so
it was like a bribe, it seemed like.
It was crazy. Anyway, we talked to a state rep, and the next thing we know, we didn't need a sidewalk at all, and we didn't have to pay $32,000. You see, God put Plan G into effect.
Mm. If you look out front when you leave today, you'll see along the front of our property, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 telephone poles, you know, run along the edge of the road there. Well, those poles used to be out for, because see, they had to widen that road. Because when you come from the north, there's a lane to pull in and pull in. And when you head toward the south, there's a lane, you know. They had to widen that road out there just for us. Of course, we paid for all that. We paid for the widening. But we also, we're going to have to pay to move those poles at a price we understood was going to be about $50,000. That seemed like a lot, $10,000 a pole. But anyway, $50,000. And so, once again, we had a choice, Plan A, Plan B. Plan A, somehow come up with another $50,000 on top of all the other money we had to come up with, or put the project on hold for how, till whenever. Of course, then there was Plan G, which was Verizon coming to us and saying, you know, we'll move those poles for you, no cost. Amen. We took it. We took Plan G.
So if you're newer to Connection Church, we want you to know that this church is built on miracles. This church is built on Plan G from day one. When we were up in the bowling alley that turned electrical supply store that turned to be our home for 18 years. Plan G has always been in effect. And now you're part of Plan G, as together we connect people with Jesus and the new life he offers. And so we had all the plans together, and we were about to start, like I had anything to do with it. I was a prayer warrior. Anyway, the site work was about to start, and then we were informed that there were some high-pressured gas pipes that needed to be moved because of the road, because of the turn lane into here, and because of the entrance. The cost of that? $960,000. That's almost $1 million. I gotta say, that felt like the deal breaker. It really did. It felt like we were about done. Okay, could we sell the property? We started looking for other property. We were like, oh no, what in the world was going on? Plan A, Plan B, Plan C, it felt like we were done. But we weren't, because Plan G was in effect the whole time. You see, God wanted us to completely and totally surrender on him. God wanted this church to be here. God wanted you to be in these seats, and God wants us to share the good news out there. That's what this is all about. And so we got a notice of Plan G that the state said it was highly unusual for them to do this, but they would allow the extending of the widened road over those existing pipes. Goodbye, the need for an additional $1 million, which we, well, maybe we could have raised it. That felt like a no. That was terrible. God's plan, Plan G, was in effect, and we just needed to be on board. And here, 27 acres, we were able to have our fall festival yesterday and just have a beautiful, beautiful day and a community event, Plan G.
Here are the words of Isaiah 43:19. This is the New International Version. This is God speaking through the prophet Isaiah. What he says is this: see, I'm doing a new thing. I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. Wow. The God we serve does a new thing. Say new thing. Yes. New thing. He's a Plan G God. Plan G God. He makes a way in the wilderness. He brings streams to the wasteland. This mighty God who brought about all things, visible and invisible, this God, and we'll sing this in a few minutes, is a waymaker. Say that with me. Waymaker. He's a miracle worker. He is a promise keeper. He brings light to the darkness. My God, that is who you are. And so here, we don't have to be concerned with the future, do we? Things are going to change some, but we don't have to be concerned because God's already there. God's already got Plan G. It's already starting in effect, and it's just going to be a glorious tomorrow as it's been a glorious yesterday and today. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
So back to the Old Testament. The people in the Old Testament, they had a dilemma. The trouble with what was going on is that when they sinned, they would offer a sacrifice. Well, the sacrifice was made, and then they'd sin again, then they had to do another sacrifice, then they sin again, and they couldn't keep up with having to make sacrifices because of their own sinfulness. And it was impossible to stay ahead of this. And so God offered Plan G. Plan G is Jesus. Jesus, the once and for all sacrifice for you and for me. Never again. You know, we can come to the Lord with our whole hearts and confess and trust. And the Lord's promises are true and right. And his Plan G is always there for you and for me. We need to accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. That means Jesus is top. Everything and everyone else is under that. Jesus is our number one. And then, Jesus, your Lord. Lord, I confess that I am a sinner in need of you. Please forgive me, Lord. And then trust and accept and receive the gift of grace. That's love that is unconditional for you and for me. God has Plan G for each one of our lives, and it's a gift. Open the gift, accept the gift, and live into it, walk it out into this sanctified, that means holy, that doesn't mean holier than thou, that just means trying to imitate Jesus with everything that we've got. Plan G.
So what about your life? Plan A, Plan B, neither one working? You know, all those cases we talked about, both in the Old Testament scriptures and here at CCC, the people involved were in communication with God. Serious communication. Talking with God. Listening to God. They were in prayer. Deep prayer. They were aware of plans A and B. And they knew neither of those plans were working. Neither of them were good. And they knew that God could make a way in the wilderness. That God could bring streams in the wasteland. Because that's who God is. That's what God does. As we said before, he is the waymaker. He is the miracle worker. So think about this today and maybe just past this time, but later today, tomorrow. What does God need to do in your life? Are you communicating with him, talking to him, and especially listening? Are you expecting what God just wants to give you? Are you waiting for? Are you expecting? Are you asking for? Are you waiting for? Are you expecting plan G? Not A, not B, plan G, a plan that you maybe can't even imagine because it's so far beyond you. Listen to the words of Psalm 78. This is verse 12 to 16. This is the English Standard Version. In the sight of their fathers, He, God, performed wonders in the land of Egypt, in the fields of Zoan. He divided the sea and let them pass through it and made the waters stand like a heap. In the daytime, He led them with a cloud and all night with a fiery light. He split rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink abundantly as from the deep. He made streams come out of the rock and caused waters to flow down like rivers. Wow.
So we heard what God can do in Exodus with Moses and the Israelites. We heard about David and Goliath. We heard about Daniel and the lion's den. We've shared about what God has done here for us, Connection Community Church. God has a plan G for you. God has a plan G for you, so get rid of plan A and plan B and live into, surrender, lean into plan G. Because it's best. That's the good news. Let's live it and let's believe it. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray. Almighty God, thank you that who you are, the way maker, the miracle worker, the promise keeper, you're the light in the darkness. Lord, forgive us for trying to run our own lives. I know that you give us a mind and you give us your Holy Spirit, and we just want to be led by your Spirit. God, when we are going off to one way or the other instead of the way that you want, call us back. Call us back. Thank you for this opportunity to worship you today, to glorify you, to be here for one another, those who were joining us online. Help us live this out, be trusting, surrender, and lean into plan G. We pray this in your most holy and precious name. God the Father, Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit. Everybody said, amen.
Thank you for listening to the message from Connection Community Church. For more information and to find out more about our ministries, you can visit us on our website at justshowup.church. You can also call our church offices at 302-378-7692. Thanks again for listening. Connection Community Church, connecting people to Jesus and the new life He offers.